Thought Media Network. We are a global broadcast network of positive music, media, and entertainment. Inspiring humanity's evolution along the journey of enlightenment and creating a world of love, peace, empowerment, and prosperity for all. New Thought Media Network. Positively inspiring.
Hello again, dear ones. Robert Brzezinski with you here. It's a Friday night. It's 5 o'clock on the Mountain Time Zone, and that means it is time for the good news. Opportunity for me to share some of the good news stories that I have found or have made their way across my desk in the past week, and I think it will help you to remember or embrace the fact that we really are creating a world that works for all. So grateful that you are with us here this evening. All right, first up, let me introduce you to Professor Gerard Sutton. Gerard is the co-founder of Bienco, a company in Australia that claims to possess a product and the intellectual property that will soon be able to mass produce natural corneas for transplants to those that suffer from blindness. Oh my gosh. Cornea transplantation is the most common way of restoring lost sight, but it's a very technical procedure that relies on donors. According to one of the professors in the study, at present, there is only one donor cornea available globally to treat every 70 people requiring a corneal transplant. Through laboratory cultivation, we estimate that a single donor cornea could provide treatment for 30 people. So instead of one for every 70, we have now one serving 30. That means just a little over two people donate, and we can serve also. I love this. Bienco's artificial corneas are based on collagen, the proteins that make hair, skin, nails, and connective tissues. This tends to create opaque tissues like our skin. And so the first challenge was to make collagen see-through. Once that was completed, Sutton and other members of the Bienco had to figure out how to apply the many layers of collagen to make a cornea structure that could be transplantable. They're not telling us how they did that. Armed with an unprecedented injection of financial capital from the government, Sutton believes they are 3 to 4 years from achieving their goal and making Australia the center of bioengineering on planet Earth, and specifically here in corneal transplants. Good news for those that suffer from blindness. Wow. Hey, if you know of a good news story you think we should cover, or you'd like to contribute to the good news program, by all means, send us an email, goodnews@ntmedia.org. We would love to hear from you. All right, next up, let me introduce you to Aptera. This is a solar-powered car. Now, I know it doesn't look like from that picture. However, this is the basis. Aptera took a very large step forward recently as the first ever production-grade body for a solar car arrived at the company's headquarters in San Diego. This three-wheeler is advertised to contain 34 square feet of solar paneling that actually powers the car as it drives or while it's parked. Now, we've had there's so much still more to do with this. The company, Electrera, has ordered all the parts for its production intent battery packs, and other non-structural components are currently being validated by the company's supply partner in Italy. The suspension, safety equipment, drivetrain are yet to be finalized for production models. Still, the company has gone further than many before them. The current design is not just meant to be a science project, but is actually their efforts to work towards production. When the PI2 Aptera solar trike is finally ready, it will be because the company is producing 10,000 a year, according to officials. We think energy should be used to turn the wheels. That starts the aerodynamics, according to co-CEO Chris Anthony. They began taking pre-orders back in 2021. At that time, Anthony said, in a typical vehicle, you use 60% of your fuel just pushing the air out of the way at highway speeds. So if you could take the aerodynamic drag down to zero, you'd instantly get 60% better fuel economy. In this case, the fuel being solar power. Company says the Aptera solar panels will deliver 40 miles of range from charging per sunny day, but the car can be plugged in like any other EV. Aptera also maintains that the vehicle will have 1,000 miles of range because of their perfect aerodynamics, low weight, and efficient drivetrain. I think we're going to have to wait a little while to see if they get that 1,000-mile range from a solar-powered EV. What a great concept, though. More good news happening on the forefront of technology, helping us to lead to a better planet, a better place to live on our planet overall. Hey, you know, we got that story, and we get a lot of our stories over at goodnewsnetwork.org. That's goodnewsnetwork.org. Go over and check them out. Give them a little love and attention. They do a great job of curating most of the good news stories you hear on And Now the Good News. All right, next up, I love this story too. Doctors in Britain have helped save the life of 13-year-old Kai Zhu. She is one of just 21 people in the world stricken with a disease called Wild syndrome. It impairs cells, causes lymphedema and warts, and leads to infections. But she was also diagnosed with a very serious leakage in her liver, a potential fatal illness. This has caused 28 liters of lymphatic fluid to collect within her abdomen. Now, the doctors have been working with Kai for over 10 years now, so over a decade. She was born with an abnormal lymphatic system, and her mother said they spent most of her childhood in UK hospitals. Well, recently, doctors working alongside several surgical teams were able to drain the fluid and find the leakage in her liver and repair that as well. Wow. Kai has remained remarkably robust after coming to the most recent treatment as very weak, she was reported. She has left a completely different girl, smiling for the first time in a long time. Her mother credits doctors' excellent care for Kai's rapid recovery from this new treatment. Sounds like we finally found what was happening. And I love these good news stories as well. And hey, here's one more that really caught my attention. This is important, folks. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency announced its first regulations aimed at limiting quantities of PFAS, or forever chemicals as they're known, in American drinking water. For decades now, PFAS have been used for coatings that resist fire, oil, stains, and water, and are now found in a variety of products like waterproof clothing, stain-resistant furniture, food packaging, adhesives, fire-fighting spray foams, and non-stick cooking surfaces. There are thousands of PFAS compounds with varying effects and toxicity levels, and the new EPA regulations will require water utilities to test for six different classes of them, not just six different, but six different classes of PFASs. The new standards will reduce PFAS exposure and thereby decrease the health risk for 100 million people or more in the U.S. $1 billion has been set aside for treatment and testing that will be made available to water utilities nationwide. This is all part of a $9 billion investment made possible by the 2021 bipartisan infrastructure law to assist communities impacted by PFAS contaminations. Drinking water is contaminated with PFAS that plagued communities across the country for far too long, said EPA Administrator Michael Reagan in a statement Wednesday. The agency reported that current peer-reviewed scientific studies have shown that exposure to certain levels of PFAS may lead to a myriad of health issues that are difficult to specify because the variety of compounds are coming from various sources. Over 66,000 water utility operators will have 5 years to test for the PFAS solution and install necessary technology to treat the contamination. EPA estimates that's between 6 and 10% of facilities will need this equipment. Records show that some of the manufacturers knew these chemicals posed health hazards, and a few major lawsuits in recent years have been settled to hold chemical companies accountable for the environmental damage, not to mention the health concerns for humans as well. Cleaning up our PFAS problem. I like it. It sounds like good news to me. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Let a couple of our sponsors say hello, but we've got more good news coming, including our hero of the week. So stay tuned. Stay with us. Hit the like, share, and subscribe button. Let some of your friends and family know what we're doing here on the New Thought Media Network. We love being able to stay in touch. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Yes, we'd love to have you come join our social media platform over at ntmedia.org. Head on over there. Click on the button up top that says community and join the only positive social media network platform that I'm aware of that's associated with the New Thought movement. We'd love to have you join us over there, folks. All right, next story. Oh, this one warms my heart. It would appear scientists have had a conversation with a humpback whale. Now, I'm sure it didn't sound like English or French or any of the other known languages on the planet. These were whoop-throp calls is what they call them. An adult female humpback whale known as Twain in Southeast Alaska was recently located along with a group of whales. And what scientists did is they recorded her calls and then played them back at another time, the next day, actually. It turns out whatever the whales had been saying the day before was appropriate, and they began to respond on day two to the calls. Scientists began to mimic Twain's calls, regarding frequency and duration. So if she waited 10 seconds to respond, they waited 10 seconds to respond back with a recording of her calls from the day before. All this happened over and over again with 36 different iterations and interactions over a 20-minute period. Scientists say there's no way to say anything other than this was a conversation, even though we didn't know what Twain was trying to tell us. What I love about humanity, we're willing to go there, and I love what we do to support the wildlife on this planet. And this next story is exactly that. However, we're bringing in a bit of technology as well. The Alaska Department of Transportation is rolling out a four-legged robotic guard animal that can be disguised as a fox or a coyote to deter animals from crossing or loitering on their runways. Now, Department of Transportation and local airport managers have used all sorts of deterrents to try to keep the runways clear of the state's wildlife. They've brought in pigs to eat the bird eggs in the 90s. They've mounted speakers that produce loud noises. They've fired paintball guns at the animals and even used drones that spray grape juice. This is a new one, however. The robotic predator will prowl the runways at the Fairbanks Airport, the state's second largest, and can move through snow and ice while being controlled at a console inside. Not sure whatever happened to just putting up plastic coyotes like we do around here. The robot, named Aurora, is a Spot model from Boston Dynamics' commercial line of robots. It believes that Aurora will handle nesting and migratory birds easily enough, and it's going to take a longer period of testing to see if the robot can scare off larger animals like moose or bears. If the tests are successful, Aurora may be replicated in other airports across the state. Aurora does have a hefty price tag of right around $70,000 that Boston Dynamic gets for providing the robot. I don't know. We might want to go back to trying the plastic versions of coyotes and foxes, see if that works, rather than a $70,000 robot and an operator to run it. But I like the fact that it doesn't hurt the animals, just scare them. Other good news in the world of nature. This one's been happening for a long time, for a while now, too. Down in the Dominican Republic, there's an organization called Fundamar. It's a coral reef restoration organization. The nonprofit is the first of its kind to officially complete training known as SeaCor, or sexual coral reproduction. This is a coral diversity and breeding program that's setting new standards for coral conservation. Fundamar is completed the training earlier than any other company and with great results. Within the last 5 years, it has been crucial to restoring coral reefs throughout the Caribbean and has cultivated 8 different species, including the notorious hard-to-breed pillar coral. Since 2019, we've been able to outplant over 40,000 coral substratas in total, each with several corals growing on them to degraded reef areas. That's according to their executive director, Rita Solaris. At our current production rate, Rita continues, which has increased by 1,000% since the program started 5 years ago, we now expect to contribute annually with 20,000 substratus with coral recruits to our reefs in need. In just 5 years, Fundamar has grown their coral seeding program from the ground up to probably the largest in the world, according to CR's director of technology. These restoration efforts come just in time as pollution continues to mount, acidification rises in our seas, and stony coral issues and stony coral tissue loss disease ravages coral reefs around the planet. Good work, Fundamar. Thank you. Thank you for setting us up for better success in replanting our coral reefs or repopulating our coral reefs. Hey, we're going to take another quick break, say hello to a couple more of our sponsors, and say thank you to some very important people. But we'll be right back. We've got more stories coming, more good news coming your way, including this week's Hero of the Week. You don't want to miss this one, folks. Stay tuned. Stay with us. We'll be right back after these messages. Thank you to our organizational sponsors, including the Heffernan Foundation, Affiliated New Thought Network, International New Thought Alliance, Science of Mind Archives and Library Foundation, Center for Spiritual Living Denver, Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, New Thought Philadelphia, Planned Happiness Institute, Summit Center for Spiritual Living, One Heart Retreats, Center for Spiritual Living on the Lake, Unity Kitchener, Unity Spiritual Center, Ottawa, Om Center for Spiritual Living, Satya Center, Begin Within Ministries, Center for Spiritual Living, North Jersey, Unity of Savannah, and the Center for Spiritual Living, Seattle, as well as all of our individual donors. Thank you for being part of the New Thought Media Network. Please like, share, and subscribe. New Thought Media Network, positively inspiring. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all of our organizational sponsors and individual donors. It is thanks to your efforts that we're able to continue to bring the good news and all of our programming here on New Thought Media Network out into the world. We appreciate you. We love you. If you'd like to become a part of the New Thought Media Network sustaining members, please head on over to our website, ntmedia.org. Click on the good news, click on donate, and add a donation to the bucket. We'll make sure that it does good work getting out the good news. All right. Hey, next up, I like this story too, especially if you're from Texas. We don't hear an awful lot of good news out of Texas, but here we are tonight. I didn't know that nearly 2 million birds, or one out of three in the U.S., pass through Texas during their spring and autumn migrations. To safeguard the over 400 species of birds that migrate through Texas, the Houston chapter of the Audubon Society and their partners in the States have been running a campaign called Lights Out, Texas. For over 2 years now, they've been running this campaign and are seeing remarkable results. What happens is migrating birds get lost inside cities that have a lot of bright lights and a lot of reflective lights from their tall buildings, resulting in many bird strikes and many birds flying into buildings and inadvertently causing their death. Houston Audubon said, "We issued the proclamation and building owners found out that, hey, we can do a simple thing and it helps the birds." We're seeing communities all across the state joining the effort, said Anna Valerie, a conservation specialist with the Houston Audubon. And the idea is now filtering out to other states as well. I also didn't know most birds migrate at night by the light of the stars and the moon. This makes it all the more important for Lights Out Texas. Thank you, Texas, for being a part of what we're a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem. Those on that know us here on the Good News know that I love a good story about saving puppy dogs. And I love this one just as well. A few beers back, about 8 years ago, actually, a California gym coach was looking for ways to drum up motivation for the students on his cross-country running team as they went off on summer break. He decided to partner them with shelter dogs and invited his students to take the shelter dogs for runs with them. Now, it became much more, and after a simple video of his kids running with the dogs went viral, athletic directors around the country began to phone St. Joseph's and ask how they organized the program. High schools from Florida to Illinois began taking up the idea. Now, the dogs want to go out and run, and the kids love dogs, and they love running. It was a perfect marriage. According to sources, dogs are being adopted by families all across the country now as the runners find they can't let go of their new furry friends. What a great story. I love it, folks. More good news everywhere we turn. And hey, check this story out. This one caught my eye as well because, well, it's hockey season. We're in the playoffs now. And a good news story coming out of Cleveland, Ohio. Recently at a Cleveland Monsters game, late in the third period, a man named Andrew Podolak was able to intercept a wild puck that was about to hit Asia Davis and her four-year-old son, Nasser. Andrew put himself in the way and was able to deflect the puck before it hit the young boy. All this just kind of happened, and the family took a couple of selfies, and off they went. Well, that wasn't enough for Mama Asia. She got on TikTok and did a thank you video. Yes, the obviously we now know about it, and the Cleveland Monsters saw the video, had the three of them back the next night for another game, let them drop a ceremonial puck, and were able to reunite these folks as well. What a great story. I just love it. And that could qualify for our hero of the week. However, we have a much bigger hero of the week. Let's learn about it. Recently in Racal, England, a remarkable act of bravery and quick thinking by six-year-old Olivia Patterson saved her entire family from a devastating house fire. On April 4th, Olivia was playing outside at a neighbor's house with a friend when she noticed the fire coming from her house. Realizing the danger her family was in, she bravely ran into the burning house and found her mother, Laura, age 29, and her younger siblings, Joel James, age 1, and Tiffany, age 2, asleep on the sofa. Olivia quickly woke them up, and everyone escaped the fire unharmed. Olivia's grandmother, Sadie, said, "We can't believe Olivia got Laura out. She's 6 years old and ran into a burning building." According to Laura, the fire started in the next-door neighbor's house and rapidly spread to the roof of their three-bedroom home. Sadly, the structure was damaged beyond repair and will need to be demolished along with everything in it. They have started a local GoFundMe campaign for the family and have raised over 5,000 British pounds already for the efforts. We want to give, oh my gosh, Olivia, a big, huge shout out for being our hero of the week. What a brave little girl run into a burning building in order to save her family. Wow. And you know, we got that story over at sunnyskies.com, another one of those sources where we find a lot of good news stories. We invite you to go over and check them out as well. Give them some of the love and attention they deserve as well. That's what we've got tonight, folks. I trust these are good news stories that'll help you remember that we really are creating a world that works better for everyone. And I want to invite you to join us tomorrow morning here on the New Thought Media Network. As we do every Saturday morning, we have our Saturday morning speaker series where we get a chance to talk about the science of mind and spirit. Tomorrow, our dear brother, Reverend Elzia Sekou, will be sharing on the chapter that is entitled Faith. Join us for that as well. All right, I'm Dr. Robert. I'm going to get out of here for now, but until next time, I want you to know we love you. We think you're an amazing person, and I can't wait to see you again next time. Until then, I wish you peace and richest blessings. Bye now.